Tonight on Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, I'm joined by the one and only Jacob, as Ashley is locked in a box and she can't find the key. And man, we talked about some crazy stuff. We spent a long time recapping the weeks of missed shows, and then we went into the news, man, with China doing some crazy stuff with moons, a man whose booby traps just got him in the boobies, if you know what I mean. Some ash cookies and some naked swimming. Some skinny dipping with the marine life, I should say. Hey, welcome to Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, episode 442 for October 18th, 2019. The Adventures of Tater and D-Wayne in the Motherland. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, the show that brings to you the latest and greatest and odd and crazy news from all over the planet, as well as stories and rants and raves and crazy junk and anything really that we want to talk about, because, man, we got the microphone, so we make the rules. Today, it is the Bro-Tato Show, baby. I got my buddy Jacob right here beside me, my Bro-Tato from another tomato. What's up, baby?
Man, it's great to be here tonight, man. Great to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad that you are here. I mean, let's be honest. Truth be told, if I could do this show with just you, I'd just throw Ashley out the window. You know, just.
Yeah, but there's so much that you would lose. I mean, she's the eye candy. You and I are not eye candy.
She's attractive and witty and smart and full of ideas and stuff. But I mean, like, aren't you
all
at least
we're not?
Aren't you at least one or three of those things?
I'm not witty. I'm not good looking. No, I don't have ideas. So, no. The answer to all of those questions is no, Stephen.
Well, you know what, Jacob? You make an excellent stand-in, and as always, we appreciate you taking the time. But today, you're wearing multiple hats. You played both producer.
I did.
And on-air talent.
That is true. This is one of the first times that I've produced the show and then just decided, you know something, I'm going to jump in and fill in for Smashy. By the way, Smashy does wish that she could be here. She called me kind of late in the evening and said, Jacob, I just can't do it. I am living in my own hell, and this hell is not worth sharing with everybody. So will you please do this?
Maybe you should let her out of the box in the backyard. I mean, have you considered that as a solution?
It puts the lotion.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I hope somebody gets that on clip, because that was perfect.
Listen, puts the lotion on its skin. No, Ashley is, I like to think of Ashley right now as not even Neil Armstrong, because Neil had friends.
Yes. Yeah.
It's more like Andy Weir's The Martian. She is Mark Watney, the astronaut that was stranded on Mars, mixing her own poop to make potatoes.
Yes.
That sounds pretty – that's actually what she is right now. So if we could all get some good vibes to Ashley and to all involved in the shenanigans.
Yes, that is very true. Neil Armstrong had Houston.
He did.
He had Houston, and no, and Ashley does not have a Houston.
She texts us, but we can really only do so much. We can't monitor her heart rate or say, hey man, if you take this sock in this box and you put them together, you won't die.
But I think we could guess her heart rate based on the text messages we receive.
I almost spit out my water. Yeah, that's absolutely true. We could do that. But man, so not to dig in too deep on the scenario here. But here in the last week has been a crazy one. If you've hung around this channel at all, you know we have been quite lacking in content over the past 2 weeks.
Quite lacking. Yeah. I mean, from we were rolling along, smooth sailing, weekly shows, at least two, maybe three shows a week, to boom, nothing.
And that boom happened when a building was sold.
We've been
trying to sell some property in West Virginia as we like to call it, an anchor property, one you have that makes you unable to fully move on with your life. It's not us personally, but the my in-laws, Jacob's in-laws, sold some property, and it had, I don't know, Jacob, 50 years worth of collected material.
What I had been telling people is it's a 4,400 square foot building, 2,400 square feet up top, and about 2,200 to 2,400 square feet underneath. And the 2,400 square feet underneath was stacked floor to ceiling in 40 years worth of hoarding.
Yeah, it's hoarding like. It's not hoarding like you see where you undercover thing and you're like, oh, that's where my dead cat is. You know, it's not that level. But it's
my empty 2-liter bottle is sitting right over there. No, it's not that.
No, everything has had a purpose or mm-hmm. served some sort of use. It just had been there sitting as, what do you call it when you got a potential energy? It was sitting there wanting to be used and going, no one's going to use me. That's fine. So we got ourselves a 20-yard dumpster. We went up there and we started the physical and emotional toll of cleaning out 50 years of stuff. And some of it, stuff that was like memorabilia, like things, not to me and you. You and I would look at it and go, that's a broom. But yep. To somebody, that's the broom that parted the Red Sea. And you're like, oh, shoot.
That's well, the broom then there were 40 different brooms, and so we had to deal with stories from 40 different brooms, and so we didn't know which one we were actually going to take at the end of it. It was kind of a hit or miss thing there for a little while. If we could take one of these 40 brooms, which one would it be? And then we had to hem and haw about that for a little while.
Yeah, it was touch and go there for a little while. I think Jacob's face was a tomato at least 3 or 4 times. I think I was begging for some anti-anxiety medication maybe once. It was a rough go, but hey, that building's done been cleaned. But we did leave Ashley up there as a human sacrifice.
Yes, we did. She's a human sacrifice.
we threw her into the pit. We said, finish it up.
The pit of despair.
Take care of this, because okay. So after you move the storage bin, it's like, well, you have a house down here, guys. Let's go ahead and knock out your house since we're on this roll. And we were like, oh, yeah, a good idea. Ashley, you stay up here. We're going to go back home because we have to work. Start packing all the china first. Cool? Cool. All right.
Great. We're going to reengage in our lives, and you just you go do your thing.
You can handle this. We know you can. And she's handling it. She's handling it well. You know, we're playing ears when needed, which is frequent.
Yeah. So the thing that I think is interesting is that she unloads on one of us at least 10 times a day, because there are so many highs and there are so many lows, and it's just riding a roller coaster of interesting. And so any chance that you can give her some good vibes, I would.
Yeah. Yeah. Do some tweeting, because that would be pretty fantastic. But
and truckloads of coconuts, yes, subject. I should at least have at least truckloads of coconut oil waiting on her when she gets back. I think that would probably be a good idea,
piled in barrels. I've got these. Where is that 50 gallon drum of coconut oil? You can buy that on Amazon, right?
I think I need to go ahead and just you know, decide it's time to do it and go do it.
You need to pull the trigger.
I should.
I feel like you would actually save money over time.
Oh, absolutely. As much as she used coconut oil, holy crap. Yeah. We'd go through that in like 2 weeks, though.
She could probably, I would imagine her just dunking herself in the morning. Just like, bloop, blah.
She gets out of the shower and jumps into the 55-gallon vat of coconut oil and then gets out.
That's, dude, I'm done. Speaking of getting out of the shower, this is nothing, this is totally a normal story. But man, being
I'm
gone
afraid.
From the house.
I'm afraid.
From like Wednesday night to Sunday, you know what I missed most? My freaking bidet.
Oh, your bidet? Oh!
I missed it. Using the raw stuff, you know, the raw 2-ply is just not doing the job. But man, you get home, you're like, oh, yeah.
Did you like relish it? Did you do this number? I mean, did you go?
Oh, I really got down in there. I mean, sorry, audio listeners, but I really shimmied, you know, made it work. It was so good.
Who does bidet work for?
Yeah, bidet works for me. And then bidet's important, but then I had to work at work all week because it was all hands week, and we had to go in And when I after the weekend was over, I had to really hope that I had, you know, my morning constitutional before I left for the day. Because if I went to work, then it's you're using the real John Wayne stuff.
Oh, and that sucks, dude.
Yeah, you know, we got some benefits, but that's not one of them. It's still just everyday normal people industrial toilet paper.
Now, did you have to, like, go suck down coffee for, like, the first hour just so, please, 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 please.
Please, please work. Please, you please, can please. Do this. I'm like, I'm double shot in like Metamucil and coffee. Like, come on, milk and
call
magnesium.
It Ashley. Hey, how much magnesium did you put in my drink last night? Because I need to put a bit of it this morning.
I need to double it. Oh shoot, I need to order some of that stuff.
She loves that stuff.
You guys, we experimented, and Ashley was like, "Drink this," you know, because that's what she does when she wants you to try something. Watching her do that to you, Jacob, is my favorite thing in the world. Where she'll just chase you with a spoon, like, "Drink this,"
put this in your mouth, and no, that is not a show title.
Oh no, that's up to them. But you put it, yeah, she chases you around. You put up with it, man. But I'm like, oh, what is this warm drink you've brought me? She's like, it's magnesium. I was like, it tastes like crap. It tastes fine while it's hot. Once it gets cold, it kind of tastes like cucumber water. It's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Some people are.
You got to drink it quick. That's what I've learned. If I'm going to drink that magnesium, the calm, I just chug. It's like reminders of college.
that sounds pretty good. Actually, I was looking at people submitting their show titles there. I don't think they're getting at it.
Well, is Dorkbot on? Because I'm sure I've sworn at least once or twice.
He's not in this chat. Oh no, Dorkbot. I'm so sorry.
Oh, poor little Dorkbot. While you get Dorkbot ready, I have a story.
Tell me your story.
Steven, you may have heard this already, but the listeners have not. And I think I just need to communicate this story. And we'll come back to your butt in a little bit. But right now, I need to tell this story while you're getting Dorkbot up and running. The drive up. So let me just, as a word of caution to all listeners, do not get in your vehicle and drive through the middle of a hurricane.
Oh, good gravy.
Just don't do it. I'm warning you right now, just don't do it, because bad things happen when that happens. So I was driving down the road, and it was about noon on Thursday, and I was like, ooh, if I leave now, I think I can beat the hurricane right out, and I could just go straight up north and west and be out of a hurricane in no time, and I could just barely beat it. Well, of course, you know, 12 o'clock turned into 12:45, and I was trying to get out of work, and next thing I know, it was about 1:15, and I'm going, oh, I think I still can get ahead of it. No, I didn't. I didn't get ahead of it at all, guys. It was pouring down rain so hard that I had my blinkers going and going 15 miles an hour down I-40, which is a 70-mile-an-hour highway. And of course, everybody else was going through the same crap, and they were just, you know, flipping out. My white knuckles the whole way. It was just no fun. So I get to Greensboro. Right before Greensboro, all of a sudden, I look up ahead, and there's trees falling into the road. And I'm like, oh, shit. There are trees falling in the road, Stephen.
Oh, no.
So I immediately call Ashley, and I'm like, Ashley, I have made a mistake. Mistakes have been made. So I'm like, what am I going to do? If I turn around and drive back, I'm just going to have to drive through the same hurricane, or I can just keep barreling through and make it out the other side. What do I do? Me being me, I decided to keep barreling through and go straight through the middle of this hurricane. So I get about halfway through Greensboro up to almost Winston-Salem, actually. And there was a car coming down the on-ramp to the highway. A tree had fallen on top of the car, and there were rescue crews all around trying to pull these people out of this poor car. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just terrible. So I keep driving, and I'm still going through this hurricane, and I get to the base of 77 where we go up the mountain. And anybody going through going through Virginia knows this mountain. It's Yep. the mountain at the North Carolina-Virginia border, and it is a huge mountain, and high winds, and it's windy, and trucks have to go up at like 20 miles an hour or else they're going to have a bad day. A truck blew over on its side, guys, like driving up the mountain, boom, blew over on its side. So I'm like, oh my goodness, can anything else happen here? So I finally make it into West Virginia, and I'm like, okay, I'm into West Virginia. The hurricane is in my six. I'm good to go. No. So on the opposite side of the road, a tractor trailer pulled a car down the side of the mountain with it. Traffic was stopped. They had a cable car out there pulling these trucks and this car up the side of the mountain to get it to rescue, try to rescue them. Two people ended up dying in that, I found out later the next day. And I'm just like, the traffic was backed up for probably 25 miles on southbound 77. Steven, it was the worst driving experience in the history of driving experiences.
And all of this driving
within a 4-hour window.
Gosh, dude, you had to do it. What other option was there? Stay home and then get rained on worse over the weekend? Like, there was really no opportunity.
Right. I really needed to get out of there Thursday morning, but I couldn't because I had a meeting from 11 to 12 on Wednesday that I was hosting, or on Thursday that I was hosting, that I had to be there for.
Yeah, and I needed you to be fair. I was like, is Tater coming today? I was like a kid on Christmas. I was like, You think Tater's coming tonight? And everybody's like, I don't know. He says he's leaving. I really hope he comes tonight. Sure be good to see him. Hope he comes. Because, like, I can't function, like, without you there. So, like, I hope he's safe. And I saw the pictures. So I was like, oh, Lord, you're in a lot of trouble. Like, the day before, when we were coming up, there was an interchange where there's a 3-lane highway and a 2-lane highway that merges. So you've got this 3-lane interstate that merges in with this 2-lane highway that becomes another, you know, interstate. A trailer had jackknifed there, blocked all 3 lanes of traffic, but we were coming in on the 2-laner. So when we came in, it was like, oh, this traffic's fine. Oh, my goodness, look at that. You know, driving past it going, that trailer jackknifed. It blocked everything. Like, you don't fix that because it was kind of crammed between two medians, like two like concrete walls. Oh. I was like, oh, Lord. So it was just It was a sucky weekend to travel. And then on your way home, you had 9 billion pounds of weight on your truck. Guys, I've never seen a truck ride so low as Jacob.
My truck was the front of my truck. My engine block, my Hemi V8 engine was sitting up, and the back of my truck was sitting down. And I had a U-Haul that was also doing this. So I was driving down the highway like this, about that much. Where
every time he bounced, he just carved a hole in the road. Ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. It was so bad.
I had thousands with an S on the end of it, pounds on that truck. I saw the limit of what my truck could do.
I've never seen you sweat so much driving before. That when we were just driving across town, you're like, oh no. And we both knew you were going to leave. We both knew you were going to do it, but you still have to freak out a little bit and go, oh boy, let's hope all these horses can do their job.
Yes, please. And you're petting the truck going, please. You got this. Please, you got this. I got you for a reason, baby. You good.
Come on, girl. Hold together.
My truck was so heavy, I would go up the mountain and climb up the mountain. And by the time I'm at the top of the mountain, I'm maxing out my RPMs going maybe 45 miles an hour.
Oh, gosh.
It was heavy.
When you took that big turn in Winston-Salem, you know the stupid clover leaf that you nearly tip over on when you're in a normal car?
109, yeah. I know.
How
exactly
bad did that
about.
Hurt? Because I feel like that was a big... That would be a big thing trying to go, like, because you have to come almost to a full stop because it turns so sharp. And then you have to accelerate to get back on the interstate when you come around.
Well, so luckily enough, I left early enough in the morning where I had no traffic.
Oh,
I mean,
good.
No traffic. So I took that turn about as slow as a vehicle could possibly take it. And then I just got in the lane and didn't care who came up behind me. I mean, I was gassing it the whole way, and I was giving it max. I gave it to max energy, but it just.
You put all the power to the rear.
I did.
To the front. Shields to front. Power to rear. I don't know how it works.
Oh, power to rear.
Power to the rear. There's a show title for you.
Now we're in the rear. So that's after Wingnut.
Yeah. Ooh, boy.
At the local pub. So I get home this past week, and my neighbor's tree, a 100-year oak, I mean, just a ridiculously big oak tree, is in the middle of my yard. Fell across the street over the power lines, completely snapped everything, without power for days. Just got my internet back today. That's the reason why we're able to do this show. It was a mess, dude.
I can't believe how bad Hurricane Michael, like Florence came, right? And it knocked over a few things. And we were like, I mean, we're in North Carolina. So everybody was like, are you going to be alive or whatever? And it really, it rained a lot where we are because it did that stupid loop. It was like, ugh, I ain't touching Raleigh. I'm going to go around. Mm-hmm. But like Michael's like, we're going to go in at Florida and then we're going to just smear our butt all across the Southeast United States. Like, I feel like it was a dog just dragging along the carpet. Like, you like that? That's what I'm doing. Just leaving a trail of crap for everybody to clean up.
It was a dog with worms with his butt itching. Just
itching across the floor. It just gets like, I think we got hit with like 40 plus mile per hour winds in town. But funny thing is, you live literally 10 minutes from me. I mean, I can get there, you know, that's 10 minutes away. I can get there in four.
All right, Wolf.
Yeah, right. But we were told by our neighbors, like, yeah, it got a little windy here, but nothing, you know, nothing like last time. A whole tree fell at your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like, the wind, I don't understand weather and wind. I always just assume that, like, weather's in pockets, like, and they're large pockets, you know, like maybe 6 mile square pockets.
Yeah, but big pockets.
Yeah, but big pockets. But you live within what I would consider a square that I should be experiencing the same weather as you. I'm usually not. I'm usually experiencing far different weather than you. Like, you could have a storm.
I'm like, it's bright and sunny here. I don't get it.
Yeah, you're like right there. Like, I could point. You're there somewhere over that way.
Not far.
I don't get it. I don't understand weather, and I'm going to need someone to explain it to me. Maybe that's the next Creator Crush. We get the weatherman on the show.
Ooh, yes, you can get Greg Fischel. So here's the interesting thing about this tree that came down. It wasn't like it snapped. There was none of that. It uprooted. We're talking about a 100-year tree, oak tree, that uprooted. So the force required to pull a tree out of the freaking ground had to be pretty strong.
It had to be bad. Like, how did it go cleaning up? Did you just chainsaw it to death?
No. So what happened was the energy people, the utilities folks came in and did a great job of clearing off what was in the road. And they actually took that away with them. But they left all of the limbs and shit. So I've got all of the limbs I was messing with this week whenever I got a chance to. So I got most of the limbs out of there, and the city came and picked a lot of that up today. The trunk, the main part of the tree, is still in his yard because they dumped that over there in his yard. So I helped him cut it in 4x4 sections and throw it on the side of the road. But nobody's going to come and get that. He's going to have somebody come and haul that away because it's just – I mean – we're talking about something that's that big around. I mean, it's impossible for him to get for anybody to just come and pick that up.
Yeah, I know your town doesn't do like standard, like just yard pickup, and even ours won't do it if it's too big. Like, they
that's right. You have to be able to carry it in one load for them to take it, and this it would. I don't even know how long it would take, and how many people it would take to get that out of there. But yeah, so it's just sitting over there. Here's my next rant. Internet.
Oh, geez.
So I just got everything. Power was out for a couple of days, so I had to throw everything out in the fridge. It happens. Had to throw everything out in the freezer, too. It happens. Came home. Power was back on. I'm like, thank goodness I got power. And then I start looking around, and I'm connected to Wi-Fi. But, of course, I've got no Wi-Fi because the fiber is snapped out back. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Here we go. So for the last 4 days, I've been without internet. And I got to tell you guys, being without internet, I think it's almost as bad as being without power.
Really? I was almost expecting you to go, I got to tell you guys, the internet is a drain on productivity, and I am doing so awesome without it.
Oh, it is. So hold on, wait. I did transition myself over the last 3 days to finally doing something halfway decent. But those first couple of days, it's like, I don't have internet. And you just don't realize how often of a crutch you use it as a crutch on a daily basis. It's whether it's Netflix or whether it's going to play a video game that's online or whether it's whatever it may be, you use the shit out of it. I finally got notification yesterday that my data plan was like 10% left, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh, because you're not using the LTE for everything.
That's right. Yeah. You got to use LTE for everything. And so, of course, I'm like, oh, well, better not use LTE anymore. So I popped out my book and I started reading and started making stuff. And so I felt a whole lot better. But being without internet is pretty tough.
That that's one of those things when you're out in, when I'm without internet and I have power, I'm like, Google. Oh, shoot. And I'll just bring like, oh, Netflix. Oh, no.
Nope.
Oh, let me go to. Nope. That's not going to work. Hey, let me play this single player game that I think is single player, but really requires internet. Oh, yep. Shoot.
Oh, shoot.
Like, damn, I'd like to play Diablo 3. Oh, too bad. Nope. So sad. Mm-hmm. Can't do that because you can't log in.
Well, that's right. The other thing I found is that TV sucks.
Oh, yeah, man. It's been a long time since you watched like regular old network TV, right?
I don't remember the last time I watched network TV, and there are three things about network TV. The commercials are terrible, just awful. Right now, of course, we're in the middle of election season, so every other commercial is, dun, 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 they stole your tax money. it's every other commercial. It's just, it's a mess. It is absolutely awful. And then the third, it's you watch 5 minutes of a program and then it stops to a commercial and then watch five more minutes and then it stops into a commercial. And it's just this hit or miss stop and go, just things that I forgot existed with Netflix.
It's painful, man. Like I looked it up one time. I didn't really look it up, but I just kind of did some observations. Mm-hmm. And a Netflix episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show, early 1960s, is 26 minutes long, roughly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
An episode of 30 Rock, which is like 2012, 2013, 20 minutes long, sometimes 19 minutes long. So you've got a 30-minute block of television that's taken up with 10 minutes worth of commercials.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I think I would be better off if the show didn't stop and they just showed either a lower third or if the characters literally just went, I really love washing my hands with palm olive. You know, like, I'd be like, that's fine. Whatever.
Right. The Truman Show, right? That was, or no.
Yeah, no, it was the Truman Show
or the Ed Show? Or
Truman Show. Because she stopped and she would be like, I love using this dish. He's like, why are you doing that? Why do we do that? Why do we say these things? And then he starts flipping out. Because Truman Show was great. But like,
that really was fun.
I think I could handle a lower third better than stopping every time. Well, no, I couldn't. Because I've watched shows where like not only do they have commercials, but they also have a lower third where it's something someone pops up and it's like, coming up next on Dateline. And it's like, or NCIS. And it's like the two lead characters leaning back up against each other. Takes up like
doing this number.
Half your screen. Yeah. We're coming next. And it's like, I know. Like, you don't have to do that. There was one that was really obnoxious that came out on a TV show, and it was advertising the Bill Engvall show when it was on, like, TBS. And you could be
did you ever watch that Bill Engvall show?
Oh, Tater, you know I love that Bill Engvall. You know I love that whole blue-collar comedy. That's my favorite, man. I like it because they people stuff. Like us, you know?
You know, you might be a redneck.
Yeah, you might be a redneck, too.
I don't remember any of the jokes. I just know that you might be a redneck.
No, and that's the truth. And then here's your sign, and then there's their tater salad or whatever. They make that joke up on you. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. They did, and they even took your little boy's name, Tater Tot.
They made
a joke about Tater Tot.
Son of a gun done took my whole deal. He done took my whole family and done made them into a joke. But, you know, that's all right. Because I get paid a nickel or so every time they say it now.
Hold on, wait. I don't get paid no nickel for every time he says tater.
You ain't made no good deal then.
Damn, I really didn't.
I made a good deal. You know what kind of don't make sense to me, though, is why we call him Little Tater Tot when he's my boy. Should he be like Dwayne Todd or something?
I haven't really thought of that, but we call him Tater Tot.
But he's mine.
That's right.
I don't know what you and Tiffany got going on, but gosh. I tell you what, though, man, if it wasn't for Tater and D-Wayne, I don't know if I'd have been able to get through this weekend.
Oh, it was a tough weekend,
I wouldn't have been able to do it without being able to just break out and go, doggone it, Tater, he got too many darn brooms up in there. You know,
there was one moment for all the listeners just hear this. There was one moment that Steven and I got in the truck and we went to the Salvation Army. And I just started yelling for 5 straight minutes, just yelling. And Steven's just sitting there like, it's okay, it's okay. And I'm like, damn it, I know I need to show some grace. He was like, no, don't bring me into this.
I was playing Preacher Man the whole time. So I was like, because I got my Reverend card. I got reasons I got to hold. I was like, listen, I told everybody we got there like on Thursday or something. I was like, we're going to try to kill each other. We're going to be angry. We're going to get sad. We're going to watch things happen. And we all deserve a little bit of grace. So if we can just keep that in mind. And like within 2 days, there was a lot of stabbing. The visuals with the eyes. Eye daggers. Throwing yes. mind bullets left and right. But we, you know, it's fine. We all went back to the house. We all ate Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of, have you told everybody about our new favorite place?
Tater. No, I haven't.
You need to tell everybody.
I haven't been on the internet in like 2 weeks now. You guys.
Guys, this is amazing.
There is not a lot of things in Beckley, West Virginia worth looking at. I mean, it's not even a place you should go. You should drive through it. I mean, I hate Pittsburgh so much, but if you need to just drive through West Virginia to get there, that's probably just keep on plowing, you know, just go. But if you can stop at Tudor's Biscuit World, your life is going to change. These people, I know there's we have a place in Raleigh that makes a delicious biscuit, but the Tudor's Biscuit World biscuit, Lord help you. If you stop there, you will be a fat person because you are going to be chowing down on a glorious bacon, egg, and cheese and hash brown biscuit. That's right. They take a biscuit. They put a hash brown and sausage, egg, and cheese or bacon, egg, and cheese or ham and egg and cheese on that biscuit. Holy crap. You'd think that the hash brown would be kind of like maybe too much or get a little bit like soggy. Perfectly crispy all the way through.
Amazing. It is amazing, guys.
I don't know how they do it. But me and Jacob ate there every morning that we could. We're like, yeah, man, we got to go. We're going to go get the trailer and then head over to the office. We go sit at Biscuit World for 30 minutes.
Everybody knew, too. Everybody had found us out. They're like, oh, yeah, you're really going to go get the trailer after you get a biscuit. Yeah, you're damn right.
That's right. I earned that biscuit. Do you have any idea how much work we're doing today? I'm eating a biscuit. Y'all can shove it.
Oh, those biscuits were so amazing. He got the bacon, egg, and cheese. I always got the sausage, egg, and cheese.
Oh, Lord.
But the hash brown on there, it opened my eyes to a whole new I mean, I was singing after eating this biscuit. It is just a beautiful thing, guys. You have to try it.
You open that biscuit, and that's what you get, baby.
That's exactly what it sounded
every time.
Like. It was a beautiful thing.
Oh, but that's enough of the adventures of Tater and Dwayne in the motherland. Let's do a factoid. In the U.S., over 27 billion chicken wings are consumed every year. They are most popular at Super Bowl parties, where 1.35 billion wings are consumed during the game alone. Good, great. 1/27th of chicken wings are consumed on one day.
On one day. And 1.35 billion wings, Steve.
Billion with a B. A billion wings.
Billion wings.
How do you do it? I'm trying to think, like, does that many people really, I guess chicken wings is just the thing you do, man.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. It is 100% an activity for Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's like pizza. You do pizza for football game, moving, you do, you know, pizza and beer. Wings is just a Super Bowl thing.
Yeah. You know, the most unfortunate thing about Super Bowl day is it's on Sunday and you can't get a Chick-fil-A nugget platter. Gosh,
oh, yeah.
I hate that.
I've never even thought about that. See, that's the thing, though. With Super Bowl, there are so many other foods that are ingrained into my head for Super Bowl Sunday. Chick-fil-A doesn't even enter my thinking.
What's your go-to for?
Oh, it's pigs in a blanket, man. Are you kidding? Pigs in a blanket.
All Woo! Them little wieners in that. Oh, baby.
Oh, that little wiener in that nice little bun. It's so good.
It's so good. That and a buffalo chicken dip, that'll get me.
And then I love the spinach dip, the sausage dip, those kinds of things. Oh, Tostitos. Gosh.
Sausage dip. Oh, Jacob, your sausage dip. Lord help me. I will eat. I will just sit down with a bowl and a spoon and eat it.
I got to tell you, thank goodness every day is not Super Bowl Sunday or else I would be 8,000 pounds. They would make a TV show, My 600-Pound Life After Me.
Just be for you.
That would be my
welcome
TV
to my
show.
600-pound life.
Because it would, I would eat everything.
Oh my gosh, it would be bad. I've actually noticed I got a little bit of a gut thanks to 4 visits to Tudor's Biscuit World. I was just putting my shirt on there, and I was like, dang, it's getting a little beer belly. Got to slow down. Not to mention I had 2 company outings, which was with paid for bar. So I'm just like, yes, I will have a beer. By the way, Pizza La Stella's beer selection sucks a butt, just so anybody knows. If you want to go to Raleigh and have a good beer, theirs is crap. They were like,
Where is Pizza La Stella? Isn't that right next to – they're opening one right next to me, I think.
It's on Fayetteville Street, downtown there. And it's a nice little pizza place. We have company parties there because they have an upstairs area that's real nice, has a bunch of couches and stuff. You can kind of chill. But upstairs beer selection, they were like, we have 3. Well, really 2 because one of them is broken. So all we have is this Hefeweizen, which really wasn't a Hefeweizen. It kind of tasted like a raspberry thing. Way too fruity to be like a real Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
And then there was another one that no one drank. I don't even know what it was. It couldn't read the sign. Hugger Mugger was the Hefeweizen. You ever had a Hugger Mugger?
I have not.
Nah, it gave me some good visuals, though. I was thinking Hugger Mugger, like, hey, man, I just love you. Give me your money. You know? I just thought this guy wanted to hug me, and then he took everything I had.
I mean, what happened?
Hugger Mugger. That's what it felt like. It's like, oh, Hefeweizen, this is great. Oh, he just took all my joy as soon as I took a sip.
No, I've never had that. I've had a lot of Hefeweizens, but no. Was it like a raspberry Hefeweizen or what?
It didn't
what was
say
it?
That on the sign, but it definitely had a citrusy thing going on. You know, like it tasted like, and I may be misremembering because I also had a raspberry wheat. Back that Raz up.
Oh, that's the one I had at the wedding.
That was a good one. Oh, I forgot I had that at Whiskey Kitchen. That was really good.
Yeah.
I did not have whiskey at Whiskey Kitchen, but I should have.
I mean, I feel like if you go to Whiskey Kitchen, you have to at least try a whiskey.
Well, when you're driving, you kind of don't want to just go all whiskey town because I don't know when to quit. And I don't know what my tolerance is for whiskeys. I do know that I want to come sit with you and drink a scotch on the rocks one night.
Oh, yeah.
That one night after the wedding where we had that Glenmorangie, that was a good time.
It was fun, too. Yeah. I feel like, you know, if you get the right group of people in the right atmosphere and have a scotch and a cigar, it's a lot of fun.
I think I could relive that night, and I'd be okay with it.
Speaking of which, we got another one coming up soon. There's going to be another bachelor party coming up soon, I hope.
Oh, buddy. Bachelor party time.
That's right.
You know what I like about all my friends? We do bachelor parties. We aren't like, let's go to Vegas and get crunk and find some nudes. We're just like, hey, man, can we do something really weird, like do this thing or that thing?
Yeah, we did an escape room, and we did darts, and we went and had a steak and had some nice scotch. Man, that was a fun time.
That was a good time. That's how you do a bachelor party. Screw naked people. You're going to see a naked one on your wedding night.
That's right.
Screw naked people. That's what I said, just in case
screw
everyone missed it.
Screw naked people.
Screw naked people. World news. Dang, Jacob, we might have beat me and Ashley's record. We made it to 40 minutes before we started talking about the news.
We had a lot to rant about, though. Let's
be
honest.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm feeling all right. China plans to launch artificial moon bright enough to replace city streetlights by 2020. That's amazing. China is reportedly in the process of creating an artificial moon that would be bright enough to replace the streetlights in the southwestern city of Chengdu by 2020. I can't wait for someone to visit and look up at it and go, that's no moon.
But hold on, wait, you got to keep reading because it gets so much better.
Oh, okay. Chinese scientists plan to send 3 artificial moons into space in the next 4 years, and the moons, made from reflective material like a mirror, are expected to orbit at 500 kilometers above the Earth and light up an area with a diameter of 10 to 80 kilometers.
So this is what I'm thinking. You're going to look up there and go, hey, is that the moon or is that the moon? Or is that the moon? Or is that the moon? There'll be 4 moons up there.
Too many moons. And then if you pull down your pants and point it at somebody, that's 5 moons.
That's 5. You got a whole bunch of moons. Didn't Russia try to do something like this back in the 90s? I feel like this was like the end of their Russian space voyage.
They were like, we're going to put up a moon.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I don't have that information. Somebody in the chat, find that for us. Wu Chunfing, chairman of Chengdu Aerospace Science and Technology Microelectronic System Research Institute Corporation, What the heck is... How do you even... I want to try that one more time. That was really fun. Chengdu Aerospace Science and Technology Microelectronics System Research Institute Corporation.
Oh, my God.
Institute Corporation seems like too... I feel like they're trying to avoid some sort of tax. I don't know what it is.
It's like, we're an LLC and an INC and an... We got every letter you could think of.
We got it all. The acronym would be CASTMSRIC. TMSRI, nope, doesn't make a word. It's just, that would just be a initialism.
Customs Rick,
yes, that's easy to say. I'm sure in Mandarin it's way cooler than that. They said the illuminating satellite would provide a dusk-like glow. The satellite's brightness and service time are both adjustable, and the accuracy of the lighting can be controlled within tens of meters, Mr. Wu told the state media agency earlier today. Mr. Wu added the three artificial moons would operate alternately in order to significantly reduce infrastructural electricity consumption, especially during the winter. The illuminated satellite is designed to complement the moon at night. Despite the economic benefits, many on Chinese social media platform Weibo were concerned with potential negative effects, such as how it would impact sleep and how much the project would cost. Is that the one program where they actually get like real life scores for how awesome they are?
Weibo?
Yeah.
No, I think that's the Chinese Facebook, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but the Chinese have a system where they can actually be like real life rated and denied things based on their social media score.
That sounds so like a Black Mirror episode.
It is. I forgot what the service was called, but it's a legit service where people use it and you can upvote, downvote someone as a person. And if they go try to like rent a car, it could say like this person's a dirtbag.
Don't rent to them.
And they can go, sorry, your score's a little low. Try to be nicer to people.
So I could see a system like that being used in China, not here, but a system like that being used if you're doing transactions between people, like person-to-person transactions, not person-to-business transactions, because then you can go, this guy's a dirtbag, and chances are he's going to rip you off. However, man, it's a slippery slope. The minute you start saying you cannot get goods and services because somebody uprated you or downrated you, wow.
As a let's be fair. We've been rating people for a while. Like eBay. Oh, yeah. eBay, you've always been giving positive or negative seller feedback or buyer feedback. And Uber's the same thing. I can give an Uber driver a bad score because I didn't like his opinion. Mm-hmm. Instead of like he might have drove fine, but I'm like, darn guy had a Trump sticker on his car, and I could be like, downvote. No, I would never do that.
I didn't like the music he was playing, so downvote.
Yeah. Even though you never spoke up and said, hey, man, this music's kind of not my jam. Do you mind if we turn it off? You know?
So they actually started this a really long time ago, even before Facebook. They started this back when I was in college, and there was a website called ratemyprofessors.com.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason why I found out about it was because I was teaching at the time. And somebody told me that I was on the site and that some of the females in the class that I was teaching had rated me. So, of course, I had to go look and see what did people think of me. So, yeah, I was hot.
I bet you were. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, super race or whatever. you get to be the hot one.
That's what they told me. I mean...
It was a bunch of people just getting together like, let's inflate his ego. Let's lie to him.
I taught in grad school. Finished out my grad school by teaching.
A lot of people do that. My buddy, who's a sociology professor now, like stayed a professor. He did a lot of teaching when he was doing his, I don't know, what do you call it when you're in college and you're done with college but you have to do more college? Grad school?
Mm-hmm.
What you just said?
Yeah, it's post-grad, graduate school,
getting your master's. I like to just call it more school after school. Because you have your high school, and then you go to school, and then you go to school again.
You go to school. Call it school.
And it's so frustrating. Like, it just, you can't, it's crazy pants. You know, like, I went to 2 years of post-school.
Well, so what's interesting here, and by the way, Kelly, you have 100%, you're 100% right on what you say. That rate my professor and all of that crap that we deal with right now doesn't affect anything. But yeah, this Chinese system 100% will. You're 100% right. But, you know, what I find is interesting is what you talking about post-grad and grad school and certificates and other things. And our society and our community has really become a certificate-based community. If you have that certificate, now you can go get a job. 50 years ago, 20 years ago even, it was not like that. If you wanted to be if you wanted to go do something, you didn't necessarily have to go get a graduate degree in whatever you were thinking about doing. You might have needed on-the-job training. Gone are the days of on-the-job training, but you have to go to some school. And I think we're entering a very dangerous time where you have to go to a secondary education system, whether it be a technical college or whether it be an actual college or a university, just to get a piece of paper to say, yes, I can go do this job.
I went one step further than a lot of my peers is really what it's saying. I committed to paying enormous amounts of money and I succeeded and I got this piece of paper. I really do. I'm a big fan of apprenticeships and I wish that more careers would embrace them as a thing. I mean, you kind of do it in the form of internships, but you still got to go to school in order to get the internship. Like they're like, I think farriers, horseshoers have internships, blacksmiths, apprenticeships. Blacksmiths do apprenticeships. Electricians,
tattoo artists
do apprenticeships. Electricians, I think, still operate on an apprenticeship deal. And you end up with good people who know the skill because they've just been following a dude around who's like super smart in that field and can do it for them. You know,
yeah, but the problem, though, with like electricians is if you ever want to go out and be considered an electrician on your own, you have to have a piece of paper saying that you have gone to the proper school, you've taken enough classes, and you've done enough jobs to be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, so maybe that one's a bad example.
I mean, no, but I think you're right. There are like plumbers; they have their apprenticeships. They have, and it's the same deal. I think a lot of construction workers are in that same boat. You start out as a young lad, you work your way up through plumbing, and then you have to go to some school to get your license so that you can be considered a licensed plumber or a licensed electrician.
Yeah, because you need that, and for anybody to trust you for even a minute. I mean, you're not going to go out and go like, that guy says he's an electrician. He doesn't have any credentials. You know, he has five people that vouch for him, but I don't know who they are, you know, and I'm going to let him wire my 220 in my garage today.
Which, you know, I'm 100% fine with, but I also think that if you are comfortable letting somebody do the work with you or for you that you know and that you can vouch for their work, then you should be allowed to do that. You can't do that in the state that you live in because you have to get permits and they have to be licensed electricians. And the only way that you can do work is if you hire somebody or you do it as your homeowner.
Oh, wow. You can. Yeah. I could wire my own electric stuff and not get penalized for it if they were to find out?
100%.
Because I would burn down my own house. That would be on me.
A homeowner can do whatever he wants to on his house. If you are having work done by anybody else, if you are hiring somebody, they have to be licensed.
Well, that explains a lot about my house. Previous owner really loved that law that said he could do whatever he wanted.
No, I grew up in a world where you didn't hire anybody.
No,
you learned how to do it and you did it. And I think he probably grew up in the same type of thing. The guy who owned this house before me, same exact boat. I've cleaned up so many of his messes, but that's the world he lived in, which is a vastly different world than where we live today.
I can't blame him. I mean, I can, but I've been here for multiple years. I could have fixed a lot of the things that I still find that is like, what? What did he do this for? It's just something strikes you when you find 18 inches of extra wire curled up in your ceiling fan that could have easily been clipped.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord, man.
And it's just wrapped around.
Oh, gosh. You have no idea. You have no idea what I pulled out of there. And I'm like, what did he do? He could have just like cut it and got a few like wire nuts and taken care of this. You know? So I did it then. Because you got to take advantage of the time you have like we do with Small Town News.
Squirrels did me in. Man shot after triggering booby trap that he set.
I wish Ashley was here for this, because we've had the squirrel conspiracy since episode 5.
That's why I put it in here today. I saw squirrels did be in, and I said this has to be a thing. Because I didn't know at the time that Ashley wasn't going to do this. So this is 100% why she has this story. A North Carolina man was shot after triggering his own booby trap while feeding squirrels, police said. Edwin Smith, 69, was feeding squirrels Monday morning in his backyard when his gun fired, striking him in his right arm. Smith was taken to a nearby hospital. He was severely wounded. Officials say he was injured by one of the many booby traps the man had set up around his house. I've never seen anything quite like this, said Captain John Wright with the Cleveland County Sheriff's Department. In a 911, Smith said, oh, here we go. I got to do it in a Tater voice. In a 911 call, Smith said, hey, Dwayne, this sucks. These squirrels really did me in. I'm out here in the driveway and my arm's blowed off. I'm shot anyway. I'm done in for life now.
Arms blowed off. That just, I know someone who would say that. Like, that sounds really, that sounds normal.
Could you imagine picking up the phone and going, hey, 911, yeah, this squirrel just did me in. I'm out here in my driveway and my arms blowed off.
Oh my gosh.
Holy crap, this is beautiful. A responding deputy applied a tourniquet to Smith's arm to stop the bleeding. It is not known if the booby trap failed or if Smith forgot that it was set up. A neighbor said Smith really cares about the neighborhood. He stood up for the neighborhood when drugs and bad people started moving in, Crystal Blevins said. A sign on his property warns crackhead and drug dealers and illegal aliens, stay away.
Gosh, I feel like this is that dude with that messed up house in Cary. Like, that's the kind of person that we've got here. If you're going to set a booby trap, don't forget where you put it.
I mean, he's a 70-year-old dude that set up a gun ready to be shot at any given moment, and he stepped in the wrong spot.
We don't let people drive cars when they get super old and can't see anymore, you know? How do you... Yeah, I mean, it is his property, but, like, man, imagine anybody could have wandered into there and got shot.
Oh, yeah, you could have walked up there to knock on the door and not known where you were stepping and then ended up with the head blown off.
I mean, we're assuming a lot about the man's fortifications here.
But it did say that he had booby traps set up all around his house.
I feel like automated gunfire should be a thing we shouldn't be able to do. I feel like there's some sort of Second Amendment like undertone that says you have to be behind the gun that's fired. It's like you can't just have it rigged up. Like, you know, in the movies they've got like the shotguns over the door frame, so when the person just blows them. Like, that shouldn't be a thing you can do. Like,
it's like the Jackal with the remote control gun that was shooting the senator in that movie or something?
Oh, I don't remember the Jackal. Was that Bruce Willis movie?
It was Bruce Willis movie where he changed his hair every third scene.
I never watched that one. That one.
Oh, you should watch that. It's actually kind of fun.
That one sits back in the era of The Saint for me. And I watched The Saint with Stephanie, who had convinced me that The Saint was a masterpiece and was going to be the most amazing movie I'd ever seen. And I was remarkably bored. I don't even know. I was like, this did not age well. Like, I love Val Kilmer so much. I didn't believe any of it. I was like, this is a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Well, so The Saint had Val Kilmer trying to be something way beyond what he was. And it just, that whole movie just really was tough for me to watch. I watched it once or twice and I thought it was okay, but I would never go back to it. The Jackal, on the other hand, is one of those movies where I feel like Bruce Willis actually did a pretty good job in this movie. He was playing kind of an eccentric character, and the plot was kind of a fun little plot. So I feel like you could probably watch a Jackal and it will probably stand up. It won't be like, oh my goodness, that I just came out of the theater and that was freaking Avengers good. but I think it will be one of those movies where you go, oh, you know, late 80s, early 90s, that was okay.
It's so I'm looking at IMDb here. The Jackal, starring Bruce Willis here. I was trying to see Richard Gere's in it. Sidney Poitier.
Yep.
An imprisoned IRA fighter is freed to help stop a brutal, seemingly faceless assassin from completing his next job. Directed by Michael Caton Jones. Directed or written by who knows. But let's see. The Metacritic score is a 36. What's the scale on Metacritic?
I have 100? No idea. Does anybody know? Is it 0 to 100?
What's the meta score on a thing? Is that, let's see, 36? Anyway, yeah, it's a pooper is basically what they're saying. But I'm going to have to go watch it. I'll do it.
I feel like you'd probably go, well, it wasn't the best movie I've ever seen, but it wasn't just Saint Bad. I mean, it was pretty good. Bad.
That's pretty good. Let's see what else did Mr. Michael Caton Jones direct? Nothing. Basic Instinct 2.
Oh, yeah. That was a real good movie.
There's a straight to DVD success story right there.
Oh, speaking of movies, Steven, El Royale. We have to go see that.
Oh, gosh. Yes, you're right. You're right. I know, and I'm trying to plan for it. Like, I thought we might be able to go when Stephanie is up there, like, goes up north, and I'll be down here for a couple days. But I don't know if that's going to happen the way we thought it was going to happen, so we'll have to find another day to make it go.
We need to make this happen.
I want to go to Alamo. I'm going to get my big old fat bowl of popcorn and kick my feet up and just enjoy.
So what have you heard about this movie? I heard it was pretty good.
I heard it was good. I heard it was, so people said Tarantino-esque because it's very dialogue-driven, but doesn't quite get the wit and flair that Tarantino has. But I heard really good things. I mean, in general, they said it's a really fun ride. It's a good deal. Plus, the atmosphere just looks rad. 60 on a Metacritic there.
For El Royale?
Yeah.
Or is that the scale?
That's the score.
Okay.
I think it goes up to 100. But anyway, I love all the people in it. I love Cabin in the Woods, which is Drew Goddard's other movie he's done. So I'm super, super down for it. I can't wait. And
I'm pretty pumped.
We're going to do it. Special section. What's the sound for special section? Let's see this one. Buffalo Wild Wings introduces new pumpkin barbecue wings. Make it stop. Just
please, dear God.
I can't take it anymore.
Oh no, God!
The restaurant introduced a new barbecue pumpkin ale sauce earlier this month. According to their website, the sauce mixes ale with barbecue flavors and pumpkin spice for a taste of the season. The barbecue pumpkin ale wings will be available for a limited time only, so get yourself down to Buffalo Wild Wings, where you can get really expensive wings that taste
like pumpkin. So, Steven, why? Why does everybody feel like they have to do something pumpkin spice? Not everything. Ham does not need to be pumpkin spice. Triscuits do not need to be pumpkin spice. So stop it, Nabisco. Stop it.
I don't know, Tiger. You know what I like is seeing pumpkin spice Pop-Tarts. I put one in my mouth in just a second. I just wait. I put it in the machine. I wait. It goes pop. And then I just, oh, man, I chow down. That's a good breakfast. I can eat a box of them probably.
So Pop-Tarts actually have a right to have pumpkin spice because I feel like inside they could make that pumpkin spice gooiness work, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the blueberry or whatever. You can make the pumpkin spice work there. But Triscuits, ham.
That's like saying I'm going to make a pumpkin spice Cheez-It. It's like, what the? But what? Why?
What's wrong with you people? It's now, like putting orange in your coffee. It rages me. I just can't do it.
You don't put orange in a coffee. Put orange in a coffee, you're wrong, and you should not drink coffee anymore.
I mean, you do put pumpkin spice in your coffee.
PSL, baby. PSL. PSL, raise the roof. PSL. I don't know anything that rhymes with roof.
Straight to my tooth.
Give me a cup of tea. So
we were at Busch Gardens. I don't know if Ashley ever told this story or not, but we were at Busch Gardens last October, and it was right around Hollow Scream. So it was in the middle of the afternoon. It was chilly in the air. It was a nice little brisk evening going on. It was a little bit chilly, and so we decided to go to the Starbucks they have there. And of course, they had pumpkin spice lattes, and of course, there were 14 little white girls that were all going,
I'd like my pumpkin spice latte.
Did they say it just like that? I like to imagine that they all pitched in like that.
I think they may have even been worse. And so, of course, Ashley and I were making jokes about it being white girl juice. And so me being the idiot that I am, got up to the counter and said, we'd like two white girl juices, please. And Ashley had to apologize on my behalf.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. I'm making that a show title, white girl juice.
Yeah, that was pretty much the pinnacle of my PSLs right there.
I'm about to tell you now. I'm a fan of one, and I pulled up to the Starbucks drive through and said, "I want a PSL, please." And they knew what I was talking about.
Did you get one?
I said, "Gotta get that PSL." Yeah, I got two of them. One for Stephanie, and one for me. I mean, I'd like to have said they were both for me, but they weren't.
Now, were they as good as what you were expecting or what you were hoping for?
So there's a no. I mean, no and yes. I don't know. It's good flavored coffee, but it's not like I'm chomping at the bit to get my PSL. You know, it's more of a it's kind of just a thing you do. You just go, oh, it's November, time for a PSL. And then nowadays it's like, it's October, it's time for a PSL. And next year it's like September 15th and you're like, PSL time.
By the end of it, it's going to be like January. Yeah, you're like, PSL!
It's just year-round PSL. Hook me up. I mean, you can get the spices year-round, Jacob. It's not like you got to wait for pumpkins to be a thing. Like,
or, pumpkin, and even the yams or whatever you decide, the Libby's pumpkin mix puree. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, they're squirting some syrup into your drink and acting like it's some sort of only available from September to December, which is stupid. It's like eggnog. Like, you could have eggnog any time. The stores just don't have it until November.
Or it's like the peppermint, right? The peppermint around Christmas time.
Yeah.
You always put the peppermint in your hot chocolate.
It's just a joke. Like, be Taco Bell. Give me that thing. If you got the ingredients, make it for me. Because it's really like pumpkin spice is like nutmeg and cinnamon and like one other thing, right?
Allspice.
Yeah. It's not even really pumpkin related for the most part. It's just these are spices that you typically put in a pumpkin pie.
That's exactly right.
So we're going to put that in other things. And it's like you don't have the pumpkin part because you're not making a pumpkin pie. So just put the three spices into the thing and ta-da, pumpkin spice. Guess what? Those are available at Kroger all year. Go get it. Put it in your stuff.
So that raises an interesting question, though. Why do we reserve pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving time?
I don't know. I can buy a can of pumpkin all year.
Oh, yeah, you could make a Libby's pumpkin pie at any moment.
Maybe it's like you don't want to ruin it, and like it's got to be connected to some special time. I don't know. Like, I could go make you a pecan pie anytime I want, you know? I can make a pecan pie. I can make a cheesecake, pecan pie cheesecake or whatever, but you kind of reserve it for Thanksgiving. I don't know. I could go get a butterball turkey and make one.
Yeah, but so turkey is something that's interesting, though, because turkey, you'll eat a turkey sandwich at any point during the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you will not make a turkey except for Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yeah, you won't make one. Those are the times. So Kelly's got some history for us here because stuff used to be seasonal. We're spoiled now. She says pumpkins were harvested in the fall, as were pecans, before we had all this preservation of food and such. So it's we've always done it this way. That's what we've got. Oh, yeah. It's always been done this way, so that's just the way we do it, even though we can.
Well, you know.
I mean, strawberries, you stop being able to eat strawberries but one time a year, and now they're like greenhouses and hydroponics. You can have strawberries all day, all the time, whenever. They don't taste as good. When they're in season, they're much better.
But, well, and on top of that, you can't. That season is so short. I mean, talking about late April, early May for the next 2 weeks. You got that 2 weeks, and if you miss it, you're done.
Yeah, it's the same thing with watermelon. There's a rule a guy told me. He said, never eat a watermelon after the 4th of July because they're supposed to be harvested and taken care of before then.
Well, it depends on where you live. If you live down south, it's 4th of July. If you live up where we live, it's right after 4th of July you get the best.
Oh, is that it? See, down in Florida, that's where I was when he told me the whole 4th of July thing. Because I grew some watermelons out of some horse poop way back in the day. That was pretty awesome. You feed a horse. Kelly will like this. You feed a horse a watermelon with seeds in it. Duh. They poop somewhere. You're going to get yourself some watermelons.
That's true.
I just started watering it. Yeah, they pooped. And I was going out feeding them one day, and it was like, you know, maybe a week later. And there were little sprouts. And I was like, wait a minute. What's coming out of there? Holy crap, I bet that's a watermelon. So I went and got a sprinkler, and I watered it every day. Had like 4 watermelons. It was great.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I underestimated the amount of water that a watermelon needs to grow, so I didn't water it nearly enough. But if I had to do it again, I'd have some pretty fantastic watermelon. Only problem with processing your watermelon through a horse is that you don't really know where it's going to land. You don't get to organize it much. You just horses always poop in the same spot. Like they'll always poop like over in their one area. This particular poop pile happened in our second pasture, and we moved the horses to the new one. That's when I noticed, because they didn't walk all over it. Because they had pooped, and then we moved them to a new pasture, and then I was able to use that area as a thing.
Ah, so you were able to, you know, game the system here.
Yeah. Our horses always pooped in the same corner of the pasture. You know, not where they eat. Don't poop where they eat, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that I was told a long time ago whenever I first started working at the place I worked at. A buddy of mine took me aside and said, Jacob, don't shit where you eat. All right, then what does that mean?
Don't poop on the table, Jacob. Jeez. You only get a pass on that one time.
That's right. Then he proceeded to tell me not to date anybody at work because that's apparently shitting where you ate.
Is that what that is?
That's exactly where it is. Don't shit where you eat.
Well, what if you're dating the person and they get a job where you work?
Oh.
Gotcha. Think about that one.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Newsman left a double. All right, I'll take this one and you take the last one.
All right.
Teen baked her grandfather's ashes into sugar cookies and brought them to school. Oh,
I was hoping you would get
what,
this.
Why the police involved? A Davis High School student allegedly baked her grandfather's ashes into a batch of sugar cookies and gave them to classmates, some of whom were aware they contained human remains before they ate them. I know that kid. Oh, this got your granddaddy in it? Oh, nom, nom, nom.
Oh, man, he tastes good.
Oh, you know it. A female student at Da Vinci Charter Academy, a public charter high school, brought the cookies to school on October 4th and gave them to at least 9 other students. Some ate the cookies without knowing the extra ingredient and were horrified. Others knew. Some students knew beforehand and still consumed the cookies, Doroshov said. That's the police detective there. Asked if the allegation seemed credible, Doroshov gave a long sigh. Yeah. I really like they gave that detail. It adds so much context.
It really does.
It really gives you that feeling.
Like you're right there listening to Doroshov. Yeah.
Well done, journalist. Yeah. A school resource officer reported that 2 female students were involved in bringing the cookies to school. Doroshov said police opened a case and had been trying to determine which penal code would apply to baking human remains into food. Authorities are working with the school to determine how to best proceed. Andy Knox, a student at the school, said that he was just about to go into his environmental science class when a girl in the same class offered him a cookie. When she told him there was a special ingredient, he assumed it was marijuana, as you do.
Yeah, you know. Sure. I mean, it's brownies.
I made some special cookies. Yeah, there's a special ingredient in it. I didn't believe her until she pulled out the urn. Knox said that the cookie didn't taste unusual, but if you ever ate sand as a kid, you know, you can kind of feel it crunching in between your teeth. So there was a tiny bit of that. Oh, Lord.
Steven, it's straight up crunchy. It's a crunchy cookie. It's a sandy, crunchy cookie. That gives a whole new meaning to sandies. I don't know if I can eat a sandy anymore.
They ate a person.
They ate a person.
He said that the cookie contained tiny gray flecks and that the girl had once offered him the ashes if he switched seats with another student in the classroom. Da Vinci Charter Academy principal Tyler Millsap said in a letter to parents that this issue going on right now has been particularly challenging, and her staff has responded appropriately and in the most respectful and dignified way possible for all the students' families involved. Millsap said he regrets that the story has been taken up by the media and said there is no health risk to any students. I mean, you know, bacteria boils off. You know,
yeah, so. That's right. I mean, it's human beings. It's not a big deal. I mean, people eat humans all day long. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's
you
know.
Bite your nails, right? So you're eating yourself all the time.
I can say that those who are involved are remorseful, and this is now a personal family matter, and we want to respect the privacy of the family involved. I feel like there's no better way to handle it than the way this principal has attempted to handle it.
I agree, but at the same time, I don't believe it. They say that they're remorseful, but they carried an urn with them. They've offered to trade the urn before in class. They talk about the gray flecks in the Sandy's cookies. I don't believe that they are remorseful in the slightest. This was a premeditated event that they wanted to do, that they went, hey, I bet we could get these guys to eat my dead grandfather. I mean, they 100% premeditated, and to say that they're remorseful, I believe they got caught and therefore they're remorseful.
I think you're on the money. They got caught. They're remorseful because they got caught, not because they did a thing. I think if they had not been caught, they would be laughing all the way to the bank. I mean,
oh yeah, they would be sitting there just can you believe? Then they would sign their yearbooks. Hey, remember those cookies I gave you back at the beginning of the year? Yeah, they have my dead grandfather. See you later, suckers.
What kind of kid comes up with this? Like, I have a 3-year-old sleeping in the room over there, and I don't even know, like, what kind of human being he's going to be, but I really hope it's not one that will bake his grandparents into cookies and think that that's a funny idea. Like, are these kids neglected? Like, what's the deal?
I don't know, Stephen. I have never in my life had this thought. When I read this story, and I'm sorry it was so long, it had a lot of detail, but I felt like we really needed to hear some of this detail to actually get the full story. But none of this has ever gone through my head.
No.
I can't even understand it.
Do you think we're just not creative? Maybe it's
you
that.
You and Ashley are the two most creative people that I know. You come up with ideas constantly. Every day, all day, the two of you come up with ideas. And I guarantee the two of you haven't thought about baking somebody into freaking cookies.
No, I have a line that's drawn. My brain just doesn't do sadistic things.
That is something we need to do. We need to get Ashley on the phone right now because she has a brain that goes places that you and I could never dream of going.
Speaking of brains that don't go places, did you take Sub's D test?
I did not. I started it, but then somebody came by my desk and said, hey, Jacob, I have a question. And so I had to stop it about 5 questions in.
Oh, shoot.
And yeah, next thing I know, it was 2 days later. And I'm like, whoops, never got back to that.
I took the D test, and good news, I'm not a dirtbag. I got like the lowest score out of everyone in our peer group.
Well, it turns out I think Subject's a sociopath, right?
Yeah, Sub's a sociopath. I think Ashley has some sociopathic tendencies. I know Var does. So there's a handful. I ended up with like a 1.38 or 1.68 or something. And the closer you are to 1, the less selfish dirtbag you are.
What did Subject get? I'm sure he got like, well, if it's a 1 to 2 range, he probably got a 2.
He got a 4+. It's a scale of 1 to 5. I mean, everybody's a little bit selfish, because if you're not a little bit selfish, your survivability factor is largely decreased.
You know?
But to the degree like you're hurting other people. Like one of the questions was like, oh, what did it say? I enjoy the thought of someone getting hurt that has hurt me.
Like, oh, that's tough.
They're those kinds of questions. Like I have good feelings when other people that I know have done wrong are dealt with, like those kinds of stuff. And it puts you in that, you know, dark factor. That's what it is. If you're wanting to take this quiz at home, qst.darkfactor.org, FACTOR.
All right, so let's walk through this. Please select the version you would like to take. Do we want to do the 30, 60, or 90 question test?
Are we going to do this on the show?
No, I don't think we can walk through 90 questions.
No, you could sample it because it drops out like, you know, 10 of them at a time or whatever. Just do the 30 and read out a few of the questions.
Here, let me go back. Let me do the 30 here. I want to see my D score. Oh, you have to sign a consent. Oh, this is a study.
Yeah, it's actually a real study from a university in Denmark, I think.
Okay. Yeah, because they've got the European regulations listed here.
Yeah, the GDPR. Look that up.
I will never be satisfied until I get all the things that I deserve.
Yeah.
I'll say anything to get what I want. And you have to do strongly disagree all the way to strongly agree. So it's a Likert scale. It's a 5-point scale.
Yeah.
All in all, it is better to be humble and honest than important and dishonest.
Yeah, see, there I think I agreed. I don't know if I was strongly or not, but I agree.
I believe that lying is a necessity to maintain a competitive advantage over others.
Yeah, see, I said no. My honesty was pretty high because I don't know how to lie and I suck at it.
I do not necessarily deserve special treatment.
Mm-hmm. See, some of these are weird, too, because you're like, well, in what context? You got to kind of take it at face value versus, like, thinking of particular scenarios.
I'll say anything to get what I want. That one's a tough one because there are some points where you argue tooth and nail to get something that you really want, right? But then there are some cases where you're like, nah, I wouldn't. But saying anything, I think, is the key there. It's would you lie? Would you do
anything? Because you can argue a point using facts. I think no one would slight you for it. Or you could, see, and it's like some of these things, it's actually not bad to agree with because I often just back down because I don't want to argue. I'm like, whatever, I can take the hit. Let's just do the thing. You know, it's very, very often that I will do that.
Here's another one. I will not pursue what I want if it causes problems for other people.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some times where you do stuff that you know is going to hurt other people because, you may have to do it or you may want to do it, but you feel compelled to do it, but you know that somebody else might be slighted for it.
Yeah. See, I can't
think of anything.
I cannot abide doing a thing knowing someone else is going to suffer for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Sub's got all his scores up there. But hey, man, if you're listening at home and you're interested in this quiz, it's pretty awesome to kind of figure out if you're not a good person. That's a little bit. It's not that you're not a good person. Just kind of get some keys. Everything wants to tell you, like, are you an ISFJ or INTJ or an INTF or whatever the devil the Myers-Briggs is.
Myers-Briggs, right.
But nothing really wants to scope in on, like, your dark parts. Like, the these are the things you get. Narcissism, moral disengagement, psychological entitlement, psychopathy? How do you say that?
Psychopathy?
Psychopathy? That's how I would think. Sadism, spitefulness, and honesty, humility score, which is, I think is a positive one, which Sub, thank you, Sub, for sharing your score. It's got a zero on. It's honesty, humility, which is so weird. I'm like, who took this test? Because I know you via the internet, and you're a pretty awesome dude. So I don't know what you did. But geez, like you must have been having a bad day or something. There's egoism, greed, and Machiavellianism. Also, what's Machiavellianism? I keep forgetting.
I have no idea. I haven't looked that far ahead.
Yeah, I think Machiavellianism, I always thought it was like ability to predict your own death because I think he did that. But I can't remember how it is.
Yeah. Here's another one. Doing good deeds serves no purpose. It only makes people poor and lazy.
Good Lord. See, I think you can learn a lot about yourself based on some of these if you really consider it. Machiavellianism is the ends justify the means. So do whatever you want as long as it ends in the result that you prefer or that is preferred. I don't know if you prefer it, but, it's pretty good. Yeah, but do the 90.
I'm not going to take this test online, but I'll do it after the show.
Yeah, do the 90 and let us know where you end up. WTF.
I'll post it in Discord.
WTF.
Oh, yeah, you had to do it. I was waiting on you. Naked man jumps into Toronto Aquarium's shark tank and swims around. A man walked into a bar. A man walked into a Toronto Aquarium last Friday, disrobed and jumped into a shark tank to swim naked with the sea creatures.
What to be nature boy.
Steven. Woo. Who goes into an aquarium and jumps into the shark tank naked?
Well, 37-year-old David Weaver.
37-year-old David Weaver has been identified. Toronto police said the man identified as 37-year-old David Weaver left the alleged assault and made his way to Ripley's Believe It or Not Aquarium of Canada, where he stripped down and jumped into the tank that held at least a dozen sharks. The crowd around him was shocked. Some were delighted. What a way, why would you be delighted if a dude jumped into a shark
tank? This is written so poorly. So a dude jumps into a shark tank, you're either going to do one of two things. You're like, oh my gosh, that guy's going to die. Or you're going to go, holy crap, he just jumped into a shark tank. That's what delighted looks like.
Third was, oh my God, he's naked.
Yeah, that's probably what most people were freaking out over.
Though the man appeared at one point to be getting out of the tank to end his charade, he then did a back dive back into the water, much to the crowd's delight. So I guess the people that were delighted started cheering, and the people that were disgusted went, oh,
yeah,
they went, oh, I saw his balls again, damn it.
You gotta be kind of bold to just be like, my nuts are out, let's do this.
And then doing the breaststroke and then just swimming, you know, with your legs flailing and your business just all up in everybody's
face. Oh, gosh.
Because you know that there are people underneath the shark tank that are looking up at the water.
Yeah.
And so you've got the people up above that are looking down on the water and the people underneath looking up through the water. So you're getting your business all over
the place. Oh, yeah. And the people underneath are going, is that a fish? It's hard to tell. Is that a fish? Oh, my God. It's a beetle's wiener.
No fish. That's a wiener.
That's a wiener swimming around.
Oh, man. That's a small wiener. It must have got cold in there.
Cold in that water. Pulled him all the way up into his guts.
But the aquarium, which said it had no plans to press, which says it has plans to press charges, and the police were not pleased with the show. It put the man's safety in jeopardy, the safety of the marine animals, and the safety of the staff who tried to get him out of the water. And Jennifer Jett Sadu?
Jennifer Jett.
Jennifer Jett Sadu.
Yeah.
A spokeswoman for the Toronto Police Service said.
That man... I don't have words.
Steven, hold on. I got to read the next statement. One witness said, I was scared. Hold on, wait. Why are you scared? He's the one that's scared. He's jumping in with freaking sharks.
He
why are you
afraid.
Scared? I was scared I was going to witness the death of this guy.
Poor dude. I mean, look away. I mean, leave the building. What are you going to do, you know? Those sharks are so well-fed, dude. They don't care.
Oh, yeah. And on top of that, I don't think they had any sharks in the tank. There's actually a video of it. So for all you listeners at home, if you go to the link and check out the website and go visit this link, you'll see a video.
Yeah, show notes available at hnhshow.2dorks.net.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I'm kind of shocked they didn't press charges. I think that's... Like, people press charges over everything. And this place
It says they're planning on, but the aquarium, I misspoke there.
Does which plan.
Has plans to press charges against
him. Has plans to press charges. Okay, mm-hmm. I was like, why would they not press charges?
We live in a world where everybody presses charges over everything. If you can sue over it, please do.
Why do they call it press charges? Like, what is that even? Like, where's that?
I have no idea.
What's
where
the etymology on that phrase? Dick! Jacob, you have to talk about Dick!
Which... Oh, goodness. I don't know if I want to go there.
You have to just quick before the show ends. People need to know about Dick.
What Dick?
The Dick Richard and Dick Dick.
But I don't want to talk about Dick Richard and Dick Dick.
You have to talk about why. Okay, so me and Jacob had this conversation. Like, okay, so which came first? The Dick or the Richard Dick or the Dick Dick?
Richard Dick or the Dick Dick?
We couldn't figure out. It's like, why would you name your kid? Like, we were sitting there going, like, have we seen the end of Dick as a name? Because the slang term for your Johnson is your Dick.
Yep.
So we were like, if it's Richard Dick, I don't even know if I'm swearing anymore. This just feels like
I feel like it's swearing.
Is it? I don't even know because it's also interchangeable. It's the same sounds and same words. I don't know. But anyway, we were wondering if we'd seen the end of the name because of the way that the word is used. Swear jar 30. Well done, son.
Yeah, just go ahead and throw it at 50. It's about to hit there because whenever I start explaining,
it's over. So anyway, like I think we've found the end of it because the other version of it is so out there. But then we wanted to do some research and find out, okay, when did these two things appear? When did Dick become a nickname for Richard? Because it really doesn't feel like it should be. Like, there's why would they do that? And then, second of all, when did people start using it to use it as a slang term for male genitalia? So Jacob went into the Google and found some information.
I went into the Google and I said, Google, tell me when Dick became a dick. And so apparently it's back to the 13th century, and the way it actually came about was people that were named Richard shortened their names like everybody always does, and so Richard became Rick, which became Dick, because we always like to do play on names. It's very similar to Robert to Rob to Bob and that kind of thing. And apparently there's a female version, Molly to Polly, or Polly to Molly, or I can't remember all
of them. I think Molly to Polly, and there's also, you know, your William to Will to Bill.
Right. Yeah. So it was a very natural thing, and that's why it actually became a very popular name, and Dick was actually became a very revered name for a male figure. And that was one of the reasons why even William Shakespeare used it. And I mean, we talked about every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Well, that saying came from that era, because Dick was actually a term that eventually became a term of endearment, or kind of this, you looked up to people that you called Dick. And it even became like this almost thing where it's a man's man was nicknamed Dick. You could be you could have a name like Steven, and you could be called nicknamed Dick because you were the man's man. Everybody loved you.
They could say he's a real dick, and that's positive.
And that used to be a positive thing. But then apparently in the 1890s, that was the first time Dick was used to refer to your Johnson. Did I say
that? You did say Johnson. Yeah.
Johnson. And it was in the British Army, and they did it in the 1880s. But that was just the first recorded
1890s.
Version. 1890s. Yes. Yeah. And that was the first recorded version. Apparently, they had been saying it for many years. It had just never actually been written down until the 1890s.
So there you have it, ladies and gents. The Richard Dick was used before the Dick Dick. And the Dick Dick is fairly young.
It's fairly young, but if you look, how many people out there are called Richard now? Very few males are being named Richard. Because,
and if you're named Richard, you generally go in by Rich or Richie. I've known some people who straight up went by Richard, knew a dude, and he was a big guy, and he really did not want to be called Big Dick, because we really wanted to call him that. Well, we didn't like him because he was remarkably obnoxious. He drove a Mercedes. He knew he drove a Mercedes. He flew planes. He knew he flew planes. And he was incredibly condescending to anyone in the service industry, like waitstaff. Like, I remember being like, we used to take the
phone.
So he
was a dick.
Well, yeah, absolutely. He would come down to our office and we'd order wings on B-Dub Day, like when they had dollar boneless wings, like Thursdays. Ooh. 60-cent regular wings, dollar boneless wings. And he would, if he picked up the phone to call, we would all be sweating. Because he'd pick up the phone, and if they got the order wrong when he said it all and repeated it back to him, he'd be like, "No, no, sweetheart." He would be one of those dudes. Like,
now I know that you
sweetheart.
Don't have a brain.
Yeah, yeah, it was that.
I'd have beat the hell out of that dude,
right? And we're all like, "That's our food, Richard. Like, that's our food. You got to be as nice as you possibly can." And to go, "No, no, sweetheart. It was this." I'm like, "Oh, he just called her sweetheart." And he did it.
Did you not know that the last person you ever want to offend is the people prepping your food?
Yeah.
Stop it.
And you know this from experience. I mean, you worked in a restaurant. So, yeah, it's a joke. But anyway, he was a big dick. but hey, thank you guys for hanging out with me and Jacob on the Dwayne and Tater Show tonight. I hope you've had a great time. It feels so good to be back on the air. I'm hoping we can do this again next week. We'll see how Ashley's feeling, if she's still got the flames of hell burning deep inside.
That she probably will. Yeah, so we'll see.
We'll see how it goes, but she probably will. If you want to send us email, please do hnhshow@gmail.com. We are ready and willing to receive those emails and read them live on the air and answer whatever questions you may have. Give us your podcast reviews if you could. I've submitted this to Spotify again because for some reason they were like, "I don't know who you are," and they dropped it. Dumb business. Anyway, follow us on Twitter, TwoDorksTV, SteveHNH, and Fate Kills, PHATE Kills. Tater's not on Twitter, but you can get to him through me and Ashley if you really want him.
If you want to talk to Tater, you just send one of them a note, and Tater will definitely respond. I promise you that.
Jacob, get back to you. Tip us if you'd like to help us out with your money. You can do that at twodorks.net/tip, or you can throw in your bits or subs on our Twitch channel, which we'd really appreciate. We're going to leave you guys with these words of wisdom from Arnold Glasow. He once said, "The key to everything is patience. You get the chicken by hatching the egg, not by smashing it." I like that. I'm going to use that. That's going to Tater and Dwayne's Book of Wisdom.
By the way, just in case anybody wanted to know, the factoid was about wings. We had a special section about wings. And the last thing was about chicken wings. You can't tell where my mind's at. I want some chicken wings.
Oh, I'm going to have to come over to your house. Cook us up some wings, baby.
We need some wings.
See y'all next time. Bye.